So Ben's asked me to speak for a little while, 5 minutes or so, on personal devotion. Just some things from experience, really, about my own quiet times and things that I found. And I'm pleased that he's done this because, you know, those words that I read at the start from Job, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Well, I know those things to be true, that, you know, God's word really is a treasure, and it's more important than my daily bread. It really is a treasure and a highlight. It's a real meal that I need. So it probably doesn't come as a surprise that, you know, this is the highlight of the day, to spend time with God's word and in prayer. And when I go to bed, I can't wait for that moment in the morning as Jesus got up very early in the morning to, while it was still dark, he got up and spent that time in prayer. And, you know, I'm just looking forward in the night time to waking up and spending that time with God. And several times in the night, I'll get up excited about what awaits. And while the children are asleep, I'll get up at maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, rush downstairs with a gallop, and spend a couple of hours in undisturbed prayer and Bible reading. And it's just a wonder. And and actually, when the children come down, do you know, Ben mentioned Moses with that 40 days in Sinai. Well, his face was radiant with the glory of God. And sometimes the children come down and they're scared to see me because of the glory on my face. And that would be a nice aim, but that's not reality, I'm afraid. That's not the reality of my time as a Christian. I hope you weren't getting too worried. And actually, I look back over my time as a Christian, and there's been some real highlights, you know, real times of just great joy in God's word. But it's also been a real struggle. You know, it's been a real struggle to have that daily time of prayer and Bible reading. You know, often I do get myself into a good habit, but even when I'm in a good habit of Bible reading and prayer, often my prayers would be slightly like this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you do feed us from your word. Thank you for the food that nourishes our souls. And thank you that I didn't get the milk. I must go and get the milk because I haven't got milk. I haven't got any I could have toast for breakfast. Anyway, sorry, where was I? Thank you, Lord, that you do feed me through your word. And I thank you for the way that you've been feeding us as a congregation through Mark's gospel. I haven't spoken to Mark since 2 weeks ago because he did send me an email and he asked me if I was going to go and see him. And I didn't reply to that email, but I could do that later on. Anyway, where was I? And that's often my experience in prayer. I get distracted in prayer. I don't know if you guys are the same. And with these various things that, you know, probably with my Bible reading, I often find that the kids are a distraction. And to find that time of peace and solidarity is a challenge, you know. And as I think about this, I think that there's two things which this reminds me of. And the first thing is that there's somebody who doesn't want me to be doing this. There's somebody who wants to stop me from reading my Bible and from praying to God. And the devil, think about that hymn, you know, it says that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And if he can do anything to stop you spending time reading your word, reading the Bible and praying to him, he will. Actually, it's a discipline, isn't it, to do this? Do you know, when Paul said in 1 Timothy, train yourselves to be godly, this is a training thing that we do. It's so easy not to read the Bible every day, isn't it? It's so easy to start praying and go off on a totally different track. And actually, as we come here and discuss personal devotions and prayer time, I suspect that actually at times we all feel guilty about our lack of prayer or the times when these things are difficult to us. And it'd be interesting to share together some of our experiences over our Christian lives as to what we found helpful and some of the things that have been difficult too. But just like with the devil, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, you know, that you've got to arm yourself with the full armour of God, which includes the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit, and prayer. And it's because the devil has schemes, doesn't he? The devil is scheming and wily and wants to distract you from these things. So you must remember that, really, as you come before Bible reading and prayer. This won't be a breeze. This will be difficult. But here's some tips, just 3 minutes or so, and then we'll open a little bit wider. But the first thing I think I'd say is, just like with training, just like with discipline, you need a plan. You need a focus, don't you? So Ben's already mentioned about Jesus very early in the morning, but you do need to find a time and a place which works for you. I've been thinking about this. I'm quite a good morning person. I'm awful in the evenings. Like, I am terrible in the evenings. Some people are totally the opposite, aren't they? Actually, the mornings just don't really suit them, you know. It takes them 4 hours to wake up. Well, I think that has to have an effect. God's made us differently, hasn't he? And I think we've got to get to know ourselves and make sure that the time that we spend with God in Bible reading prayer is good time. So that's one thing I'd say. Find a good time and a good place. For me, that does tend to be in the mornings, actually, before the kids get up. In terms of prayer, actually, I find the best times to pray are when I'm running and when I'm in the car driving, which, I don't know. I mean, that just, I get a longer period of undisturbed time, so I find that really helpful for praying, just to be in fairly unusual conditions. Just like you said about Susanna Wesley, I knew somebody who was a missionary in Africa, and I remember her saying that the only time she got where she wasn't surrounded by kids was when she had a shower in the morning, so she made sure that her shower was her prayer time. You know, you've just got to find a time, and that will be different for all of us, won't it? I'm sure that's the case. No, I don't. I don't, no. But this is daily bread that we need, isn't it? This is something that we should try and find a time every day to do this. One thing I'd say, though, there's one chap who I know fairly well, who is a really good Christian guy, and he's written about that we should... he'll encourage us to have a guilt-free attitude towards Bible reading. And I think what he means by this is that so often, you know, we can start a Bible reading plan, and I've got a Bible reading plan at the moment, and I'm already a month behind, this year, which is terrible, isn't it? But that's just where I am, and I could start feeling so guilty, you know. I'm still in April, I should be in May, you know. And I think what my friend Dave has said is that actually, it can be a good exercise sometimes just to read the Bible for what it is. It's a book from start to finish, and just take chunks of it like you would read another book, you know, read through it. And actually, he would say sometimes you can read 10 chapters in a go and it would do you great good. Sometimes you don't do that, but actually I think that's a fairly useful exercise. And Hannah's been doing that this year, and she's read through the Bible in 3 months in that way. And I think, you know, she said sometimes she didn't read the Bible in a day, sometimes she did, but with that kind of that quick paced chunky view of the Bible rather than a verse for the day, you do get to see the sweep of the Bible in a different way, don't you? I think one thing I'd say with that is that often it's good to take something slowly at the same time. So I think at the same time with Hannah, she's been reading through Hebrews quite slowly. Well, I think that's quite a good model, actually, but certainly that model of guilt-free Bible reading, you know, read it not in a kind of constrained, forceful, I have to do this. And when you do that, you can often lose the goal of what you're trying to do, can't you? So I think that might be one helpful thing to say. I'm sure in this room, lots of people use different Bible reading materials or have done and have found some useful and some not. This is what I'm using at the moment, which is what Ben mentioned. It's called For the Love of God by Don Carson. And Ron's doing this as well, isn't he? But through a period of... Did you? Well, this is quite a good book. If anyone's interested, do have a look. But the way that this works is that through a period of... I'm doing it in 2 years. You could do it in a year. But in 2 years for me, I'll have read through the Old Testament, the New Testament twice, and the Psalms twice. So that's what that is. And it just sets it out. And every day there's a sort of a devotional passage as well. I found that really good. This is the second time I've been through that. As I say, I am behind, you know. There's just days when... in fact, there's a lot of days, you know, if you look about it, I'm already a month behind this year. I mean, you can do it in one or two. I'm doing it in two. Yeah. It's a common thing, isn't it, actually, that people often find that their Bible readings are extremely pertinent to the situation that they're in. And I think that's been an experience that I've had over my Christian life, and I don't know if you have too, where what you're reading just seems extremely relevant to what you're going through. And I think that's a fairly common experience. I don't know what you guys think about reading the Bible in a random way, opening it up and reading what God has for you. I would be fairly cautious of that as a main way of finding that you're feeding from God's word. I'm sure God does speak to us in that way and can speak to us in that way. I think on a day-by-day basis, I'd probably encourage some sort of a plan. I think it partly helps with that training and discipline side of things. What else shall I say? I think the best times I've had reading the Bible have been when I'm preparing sermons, actually, which seems a bit strange, but that's because of a discipline of praying through everything that I read. And it's crazy because I should do that more, but the discipline is read a line, pray through it, read another line, pray through it. You're meditating on God's word, and I think it means that you're less likely to get distracted. And I think some of the food you get from God's word in that way is wonderful, you know. So I really should do that as a more definite discipline, just reading and praying hand in hand. That's one thing I'll say. I won't talk for much longer, but I'll just say in terms of prayer, I don't know if people here keep a journal. I've always found keeping journals a fairly helpful thing. I've got one friend who writes down all of his prayers word for word on a daily basis, and he's found that really helpful as a way of looking back over the way that God has helped him in different situations. I'd often use, just to make sure that you've got a balanced prayer life, I'd often use a type of system to try and help me with that. So on Monday, I might pray for mission. On Wednesdays, the world. On Saturday, for people suffering. On Sunday, you know, so I'll have an acronym type of system. So I kind of know each day that I'm going to be praying for something specific. And I think that can quite help. It's Tuesday, right? Well, Tuesday I'll pray for the church, you know. I think that can often be a helpful thing to do. I'm not going to speak any longer, but I hope that's of some helpful start. I did bring some children's things as well, but I don't know how much there's people here with young children, so I don't know how much that's important. But
we make them available. People can have a look at the different ones. Presumably you bought them.
Well, I bought what we use, which is called Table Talk for the little ones. And Sophie's bought something that she uses too, which does look good. So one-year book of devotions for kids. So the Haddos have been going through this quite a lot, haven't you? So it'd be worth having a look at that too. So there's a couple of things there. But Ben, if I can hand over to you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think the point about the different age ones, it just shows that really you've got to find something that is wrapped to your particular situation, just like a place and a time and the kind of material that you're going to be using to support your devotional life. So obviously when people are talking about their private devotional life, in one sense you're kind of getting an opportunity to find out how things work behind the scenes, as it were. You know, if there's something in somebody, this is how it gets there, as it were. So feel free to ask questions if you'd like to, and anybody wants to sort of give testimony to something of their own experience in this, or ask some questions. We've just got a little bit of time together to open it up. So over to you, really. Don't be shy.